while we do a little bit more worship, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes in the 9th chapter. We lift our hands. If you got your Bibles open, give me 15 minutes to drop this word on you. I do mean drop. All right. Wednesday morning, I was teaching in the Wednesday morning service, and I discovered something. Wow. I was almost afraid teaching. I said, Lord, I ought to go sit down and recontemplate this and meditate on this a little while. He said, no, because if you do, you're going to lose the thought. It'll go along with what I'm going to do today. We were in, Matthew? Anyway, you're very familiar with the scripture. It says, Matthew 4, when it says, and Jesus was led up into the wilderness by the Spirit. While I was reading them verses Wednesday morning, the Lord spoke to me while I was standing here by His Spirit, and He said, what wilderness did I take Him to? Did I take Him into the mountains that you stand on? Or did I take Him to the mountains in His mind? And I was like, wow, okay. I'm talking to God all the time. He said, where did I take Him? Did I take Him to the mountains on the hilltop? Or did I take Him to the mountains in His mind? The Bible says He was led by the Spirit. Spirit only deals with spiritual things. A battle was going on in His wilderness experience. A lot of our mothers had wilderness experiences that they went through in their minds. A lot of you mothers are having wilderness experiences that you're going through in your minds pertaining to finances, pertaining to children, pertaining to loved ones, pertaining to different things. You're led into a wilderness experience in your mind. And you think constantly, what is it that you need to do to make things right? And to get through this dilemma that you seem to have been led into. The Spirit led him into the wilderness, but the Bible never says he left where he was. The devil and your flesh will offer you everything it possibly can to snatch your life. To make you think you haven't been a positive in your family's lives. To make you think you haven't done the right thing in their lives. To make you think you haven't lived the way you should live with your spouses or in doing on your different places of worship. So you find yourself in this wilderness experience. When it talks about the wilderness in Matthew 4, it doesn't say anything about trees or bushes or mountains. It just says wilderness. Amen. I'm not going to get into what the words mean because we will be in there forever. Wilderness doesn't mean where there's a lot of weeds in that particular scripture. Wilderness means like a type of no return. How many ever been in a place of no return in your mind? But then, I'm not even a mother, and I was there. Things happen. We don't understand why, but they happen. I used to always preach, everything has a purpose. There's a principle behind everything. And I had left that. But Sister Martina reminded, remember, everything has a purpose. In Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, 11th verse says, I return the song to the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. I watched my mother turn her life around at a late age. I lived in one of them homes where if you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. But we were still very dysfunctional. Let's keep it real. We were dysfunctional. I used to hate for the weekends to roll around. It was party and fight time, USA. Mother against father, father against son, son, brother against brother, sister-in-law against brother. I mean, just every weekend, it was something different. And you almost prayed that when you get to Thursday, that it loop itself back to Sunday again. But if you visited my house anywhere from Sunday to Thursday, you never would know the problems that were going on in my home. But you know what? In spite of that, my mother kept a roof over our heads. Made sure we had food to eat. Made sure we had clothes on our back, whether we liked them or not. So if you don't like what I wear, buy your own. You don't like what I cook, go get your own. So I got a job at an early age. But she had the mindset, and I saw, now I understand, that she was in a wilderness experience in her life. Yeah. I got home one night late after a hard night of partying, and I heard something in that house that I hadn't heard in my life. I heard my mother in her bedroom crying out to God. Mess me up. Went out and got me another drink. Couldn't believe what I was hearing. Came back, she was still praying. When she got up the next morning, there was a different light on her face. Everything that she was doing, she dropped it. And I said, Mom, what are you doing? She said, son, it's time to make some changes. And she began to make her changes. And she gave her heart and life to God, and she started serving God diligently. And she prayed on a continual basis. I knew what time she was going to be praying, so I made sure I didn't come in the house till after she was finished. But it didn't matter, because when I got in the house, the prayer was illuminating through the home. I returned and saw under the sun. Mean I turned around and perceived, I turned back and perceived that there was still light beyond what the sun was giving out. That the race, now see, you know how we get our stuff out of the Webster and it says like race is endurance, or race has to do with you running or something like that, or a competition. Well, I decided I was going to really look it up in the Hebrew, see what race really meant. When I got through researching it, it means that it's a trial of speed. Not an execution of speed, but a trial of speed. The man was preaching something that was prophetic that we were going to have to deal with in this end time. We find out that the trials that we go through, you can't run them fast. Meaning you can't outrun them. You can't outrun none of your problems, none of your situations, none of your hurts, your aches, your pains, your dilemmas. You will never be able to outrun them. But we try nevertheless. That race, not to the swift. And then swift kind of makes you think it's talking about fast. But swift means light. I was listening to that poem Sister Diane was reading. And I saw my mother in that poem also. And I found and I recognized things that she told me that I just wasn't going to do. But I realized after I come to some age and start telling my kids the same thing, that she was right all along. But what that did was I recognized the fact that she could only tell me what I needed to do because she had already been there. The battle that we're dealing with is not to the lighthearted. Oh my God. It's not to the swift nor the battle to the strong. The engagement or the warfare to the powerful. The word of God says, when you are weak, yet are you strong. But you can be weak and not be lighthearted. You can be strong in your spirit. Why? Because you've learned that you have to stand on the word of God. When you're by yourself on those nights or those days and there's no one there to pat you on the back and tell you what a great job you're doing, you have to know that you're doing all that you can do and it's right unto God. You have to recognize that the sun is shining down on your life. To illuminate your life so that you can live what God wants you to live. Regardless of the hurt, the pain, the agony, the stress, the distresses, the hatred, the envy, all the stuff you have to go through. The financial deficits, the spiritual, you got to live this thing. Didn't say it was going to be easy. You can't be swift or you can't be lighthearted. And do what God called you to do. I was ready to run this week, Rev. It was rough. And what's so bad about it, when other folks don't have answers for the situations that you know that they created, then it really messes you up. Yeah. Yeah. What are you talking about, Pastor Dennis? I was in my office this week. On my laptop studying the word. And everything went down, then it came back up, then it went down, and it came back up again. Then it just died. And I'm sitting there in the dark like, what? So I called Sherry. You know, Sherry, she know I handle all that stuff. So she called them and they said, we didn't do it. So I go outside, and there's a truck in the back. I'm saying the truck is in the back. I said, we're not doing it. It's not us. Y'all not on shut off. Well, I'm sure we're not. It's almost like every dime we raise go to the light bill over there. And we're not even over there. And I got lighthearted. Because immediately I said to myself, Charles, I don't deserve this. How many of you mothers going through something today and you say you don't deserve it? And you probably don't. But it don't change the fact that you got to go through it anyway. But you got to be strong and very courageous. And believe that what God has promised you, he's going to bring it to pass. Then my blood pressure, you know, I'm just now getting over that situation, you know. So I'm on my way. I'm in a tournament. We signed up for a tournament. We get to the tournament. The guy who was supposed to turn the application in didn't turn it in. And he ain't there yet. So I'm fuming. You can be late, but get there. He's not even there. It's 52 lanes in that place. And he wasn't there, and they had already filled up 48. So my blood pressure done got high. I mean, my blood pressure done got really high. Because I'm calling him, and he said, I'm pulling in the lot. I said, you told me that 30 minutes ago. And I still don't see you. So I go to the tournament office. She said, Dennis, ain't nothing I can do. He didn't turn it in. We've been calling him. If y'all want to bowl, you bowl at 4 o'clock. I don't think so. My blood pressure was so high, it was almost unbearable. I was ready to explode. I was sitting out, I went to sit outside, and I was waiting on him to pull up. Because it was about to be a problem. And I saw him pulling up in the lot. And it felt like my brain was trying to push out the top of my head from my pressure. And the closer he got, the worse I got. And he come walking up, and he had that look on his face. And I had that feeling in my spirit. And I didn't even pray. I wanted to be mad. I'm not going to stay here and lie to you. God give me peace. I wanted to be upset. If you know how I am about bowling, you know this was not just fun. This is business. And I'm sitting there. That's when I heard God say, it's not giving it to the lighthearted. I shook it off. Don't want to hear it. Not right now. I mean, the Spirit of God talking to me. He had to endure it all the way to the end, shall be saved. Don't want to hear it. Not right now. Not this moment. It ain't going to happen. I'm going to do this. I'm waiting on him. He about 6'4". Worked for Strolls. Listened to lifting them crates every day. So, you know, I didn't even notice none of that. All I knew, he done messed us up. That's all that mattered. And baby, we had assembled a good team. We was about to do some stuff. He wasn't there. God talking to me. God talking to my spirit all the time. I'm hot. And it don't get no better when my other teammates show up and he think it's funny. He said, we supposed to turn it in too. I said, he didn't turn it in. I could have stayed at the gym. Now I got to hear him complain. He just whined and complained. So I got to walking. Can't stay around him. I'm already hot. So Frank coming up. So I go back. I said, Frank coming up. I got to went back outside. Here he come. Hot. And God said again, you cannot be lighthearted. This race ain't to the strong, but it's to the humble in spirit. And he opened up his mouth and said, man, I apologize. I am so sorry. And I was no longer mad. And I was mad at me for no longer being mad. Because I had determined I was going to bless him out. But this peace came over my spirit. And I heard God said, I told you. Be not weary in well doing, but in due season you'll reap the blessing. And so as you run and neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance. Occurrences. Remember, we always say, I don't care how holy, how spiritual, how supernatural you might think you are, it rains on the just and the unjust. There's no way around what you're going through, but you have to remember, you have to apply the word of God in your spirit. Jesus told the devil, or the slanderer, or the accuser, different names, he told him, we man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He didn't say out of my mouth, but out of the mouth of God. You have to understand that the words that you speak have to come from God, and they come from the God on the inside of you, and you have to speak it, and you have to proclaim it, and you have to call it so. Jesus said, I'm not going to live by my belly or according to my flesh, but I'm going to bring it under subjection, and I'm going to live by every word that God is producing in my spirit. And I will not lose this battle, even though it seems like it. If I stumble, I'll pick myself up. Amen. If I fall asleep, I'll wake up. If I get tired, I'll endure nevertheless. Yeah. Most folks, you know, we look at, you know, a lot of folks that you don't know what's going on in folks' families.
Come on.
Right. They always look good on the outside. They put up good fronts. But if you was a fly on the wall, I know that's right, Sister Nancy. Nancy, you pick up on some stuff. That's why it's so important that you work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling before God. I thank God for my mother. When she passed away, I wept a little bit, but it wasn't none of that crying and screaming, because I know where she left me. Mothers, when you done all that you can do and then some, there ain't no need for you to be self-conscious about what you think you didn't do.
Amen.
You can only work with what you have to work with.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm closing. It says, but time and chance happened to them all. Everybody gonna go through something. When I was growing up, there was a guy who used to live on the other side. I used to say, man, they got it real easy. Every time something came out, he got it. He just got it easy. One day we were out in the back playing basketball. We made us a basketball rim. We was playing basketball with something we was playing, and actually threw the ball into his yard. So I went into the yard to get the ball. And his father, I was wondering why he wasn't out there playing with us. He was beating the crap out of him and told her, if you get involved, I'm going to do the same thing to you. I said, thank you, Lord, for what I got. You will go to that well day in and day out, get that water, and won't thank God for it. But the moment you go to that well and it's dry, then you want to go, well, what happened? Where'd the water go? I thank God for my mother. And I thank God for the mothers in the church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mama Algie called me every day, whether I needed it or not. She don't stay on the phone long. She said, baby, I just called to see how you doing. And I get ready to say something. She say, bye. yet be talking. She's gone. I said, that's, she's been around Brother Hart too long. Brother Green got that. You have to stay. I'm telling you, I'm talking to you from experience. I know some of you might be older than me. Some of you a lot, some of you not much. But I'm telling you, you got to stay. Now is not the time to abandon ship. Now is the time to fight the good fight of faith. And to keep preparing yourself in this race. How do you prepare yourself? By going through whatever it is you're going through. And still give God thanks and praise for it. Some of us have been through some stuff. And you look at them, you don't know what they've been through. But you know what? We're running the race. And we're still here. You know what? It's almost like being in Boston. We're in this race. And there are terrorists at the finish line. Yeah, I call them terrorists. They want to put terror on your spirit. And try to convince you that you aren't who you say you are. You will say, it don't bother me, but it'll be up here. And you'll be fighting with it the whole day, sometimes weeks. Oh my God. Also the fish that taken in the evil net. You see what he's saying? He said, fishes don't mess with nobody unless you're a shark. But they still get eaten. All birds do is is poop and eat. And depending on what neighbor you hit, you make a lot of noise at 5 o'clock in the morning. But yet, they still a snare. So even the sons of men snared in an evil time. These are evil days. And our circumstances and our situations are trying to ensnare us. To prevent us from seeing God the way we need to see Him. Because if you can see His face, you'll know you can make it. I learned that at an early age. I told you by the time they was going to jump on me from school, I only lived around the corner from the high school. I was little. And they were going to get me. They just kept following me and calling me all kind of names. And I kept saying to myself, I can just get to my house. I just kept saying that. So I never turned around. I never said nothing back. They was throwing stuff at me. I just kept walking. When I hit the corner of my block, I go, 3 more houses. They were still behind me. I just kept walking. When I got in front of my house, they were making all that commotion. I saw the window shades open up. And I saw about 4 or 5 faces peering out the window. And I said to myself, it's on now. Front door flew open. Sisters, brothers, they all flew out. When we got through, I never had another problem. Because I saw their faces. It gave me peace. It let me know that I wasn't in this battle by myself. That I had somebody that's going to stick with me or be closer than a friend. You need to be able to see his face. So as you run this race, and you face the battles of life, and you deal with circumstances that you can see his face and know that you're not in it by yourself, but your help draws nigh you. I got through dealing with Frank, Sister Martinez said, you know, everything has a purpose. Looks out like I was looking in the mirror. I wanted to say, okay. But then it clicked. It made sense. Then I started realizing some stuff about Lil Jon that I was happy about. My leadoff bowler is fabulous. Beyond measure. He done shot so many 300s, 800s this season, it's unreal. But he is a crybaby. And if he ain't striking, he crying. And I got to thinking, you know what? I'm so glad we had the ball. I would have listened to him for 3 games. I don't mind bowling next to him because I can get up and leave. But having the ball with him, I say thank you, Lord. Amen. So we thank God for victory this morning. A lot of times you can't see victory. You just have to really know that you have it. And it's hard knowing you have it. Because your heart is telling you one thing. Your feelings are telling you another thing. And your emotions got your mindset going crazy. And you have to grab all that stuff and tie it in a big knot. And try to keep it together and separate it and know that he is still God. Some of you are still alive today because you're hidden deep faith in your God. You know what I'm excited about, Pastor Keys? That it don't matter what we say with our mouth, God still searches the intents of our hearts. I'm excited about that. Because when I get to the place of dying of complaining and murmuring and bellyaching about the stuff I'm going through, what I'm feeling, when my emotions going crazy, God will go down into my heart and search my heart and say, son, I love you. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you all the way until the end. All I ask is that you look unto me, your hope. If you look to me, I'll let you see me. And when you see me, you'll know that the sun, the light, is shining on the darkness that's trying to overwhelm you. And you'll see that victory is nigh at hand. I am ready to preach a message because I want to preach it. Not because I done had to go through something in order to understand why I'm preaching it. But it don't look like it's going to happen, Elder Norman. I bet if I decided, Elder Green, to stay in the bed for a whole week, somehow or another the bed would break on me. And there's another message, Sister Fatima. There's a message. Make sure your foundation is strong. Don't take nothing for granted. Amen. I done got to a place and sat in what I thought was the strongest chair, and you think it didn't break? And I'm looking at everybody else sitting in their chairs, and they're just wobbling. I done got behind this chair and shook it and didn't move or nothing. As soon as I sat in it, I heard something go. Everything is uncertain. When things get to be, the only thing that we're certain of is that we're going to make heaven our home. That's the only thing I'm certain of. And I'm determined not to let nothing separate me from the love of God. Nothing. So that I can make heaven my home. Everyone stand.